I'd like to welcome everybody here, and I'd also like to pay respects to the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, the custodians of the land, skies and waters, and pay respects to the elders past and present. We have no apologies, we have no leave of absence, and we have staff in attendance. And ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to advise to you today that council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that members of the public who are unable to attend in person can still observe the proceedings. By remaining in this chamber, you are consenting to being filmed and recorded. Please be mindful of your actions, contributions, as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. So, public question time. In accordance with Regulation 3338 of the Local Government Meeting Regulations 2025, questions, whether from the members of the public or councillors, must relate to the functions and activities of council and must not be defamatory, offensive or disrupting orderly conduct of a meeting. A question asked is to be concise, be clear, not a statement, have minimal preamble, and general statements are not permitted in this time. Members of the public and councillors may ask up to 4 questions per meeting. The chairperson reserves the right to refuse a question in accordance with the regulation. If the question is refused, the reason will be stated and recorded in the minutes. So, we will go to members of the public for public question time. Do we have any questions from members of the public? Rosina, would you? Well, we've got hands up everywhere. Would one at a time like to come to the front of the table? You're the closest, Pauline. Let me guess.
Four things, actually.
Look, would you could just state your name for the recording, please, Pauline?
Pauline Jervis. Do you want the address as well? I've written it down.
That's okay.
Right. So, the pool. After the surveys, you've now got 10% that want the pool. Does that mean that 90% don't want it or don't care? It is time to put the pool idea to bed, done and dusted. Look at all the money that council will save and the ratepayers. And the ratepayers too. Another way to save money, I've been thinking this, those flowers that you plant in St Helens, have you ever thought of planting annuals or self-seedings? That way you'll save money. And when the street furniture was being given out to St Helens and St Mary's, the bridesmaids, as we're calling ourselves, Scamander, missed out again. So the real slap in the face in all this is the fact that St Helens Dog Park has got gym equipment. You've got to be kidding. Dogs have got gym equipment. Do the dogs pay the rates? I would like to know who has been in charge of raising the money for Scamander gym equipment in the past 5 years, soon be 6, because as far as I'm concerned, I think they've fallen asleep at the wheel. Now, we would like dates and times. When will Scamander get? We only want 4 things: a leg press, an elliptical trainer, chest press, and an aerobatic bike. It is not a big ask to be treated as ratepayers and not always be the bridesmaid and never the bride as Scamander.
Well, if you could please put your questions to Linda, you will get a response in 7 working days. And I love the elegant way you put that. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next.
Hello.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Thank you.
If you could just state your name for the recording, please.
So my name is Hannah Maleka. I'm speaking on behalf of the East Coast Aquatic and Wellbeing Centre, and I've got 2 questions for Council. The first one, given Council currently holds over $20 million in investments and acknowledging this is comparatively strong per capita for a rural LGA, what level of reserves that Council consider appropriate before investing in the major community infrastructure such as aquatic facility? Second question, the feasibility process, survey responses and community petition indicate strong support for this project. How is Council weighing demonstrated community need and demand in such decision make in its decision making relative to financial considerations? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could you please see Linda? We need to have a copy of those so we can respond. Thank you. Would you like to step forward, please? Thank you. If you'd like to state your name for the record.
My name's Heather Keith, and I'm also representing the East Coast Aquatic and Wellbeing Group Incorporated. We'd like to participate in any consultation round two process that our committee can, so that our committee can have some input and feedback. Is this possible? That's my question.
Pass that to Linda. Thank you. And look, all of these questions will be responded to within 7 working days. Thank you. And Rosina.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Rosina. We normally don't play musical chairs.
So I'm Rosina Galacci and I'm here as the Vice President of the East Coast Aquatic and Wellbeing Group Association. I have 3 questions, if I may. Question one, given that the Aquatic Pool and Wellbeing Survey closed at the end of February, could the Council please release the Breaker Day, to the Breaker Day community the results from the survey? Question two, Breaker Day Council routinely funds and maintains community infrastructure such as halls, parks, bike trails and sporting facilities that do not generate profit. What criteria is being applied that treats an aquatic facility differently and why is it being framed primarily as a cost rather than a community service? Three, final question. The Premier, the Honourable Jeremy Rockliffe, has recently publicly indicated that funding is available for projects like aquatic facilities. What formal submissions have been taken by the Breaker Day Council to secure funding from the state or federal government, and in what format are these submissions? Thank you.
Thank you, Rosina. If you could pass them to Linda for us, thank you. Do we have any further questions from members of the public? This is a young gentleman I haven't seen before at a council meeting. How are you, Graham? If you could please state your name, please.
Graham Wathen, Falmouth, East Coast of Tasmania. Scenic Protection Area Overlay. In a 1995 report on coastal and marine management strategy for the East Coast of Tasmania, it was mentioned that the coast was, quote, a natural jewel in Australia's coastline. In 2022, this council made a number of statements before the Tasmanian Planning Commission at public hearings reviewing council's draft local provision schedule, including, quote, a review of the scenic road corridor overlay and inclusion of a scenic protection area overlay would require a comprehensive assessment across the municipality and extensive public consultation, end quote. At that time, the Commission itself observed, quote, there may be significant public interest in the overlays. The Council's current task to, quote, progress a scenic areas assessment began 3 years later in November 25 and is due to be completed by 30th of June this year. However, the General Manager has stated, it is not currently proposed to develop an advisory committee. Council relies on expertise of qualified staff to draft the briefing document. Community and stakeholder consultation will be required and a community engagement plan will be developed. So my questions are, for such an important public interest matter, why are the terms of reference and the project brief being prepared without any input from the community? Two, as the council is without a senior planner, will Council be engaging private, that is, non-staff consultants to assist in preparing the project brief? Three, what form of community and stakeholder consultation is proposed and what will the will that consultation comprise, quote, extensive public consultation? And fourth, What does a community engagement plan entail? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions, Graham. If you would pass them to Linda. Any further questions from members of the public? We have no further questions. Thank you very much. 26.3 is councillors' questions on notice, which we have nil. And 26.4 is councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Wright.
Thank you. I need to ask, I have had a fairly unfortunate incident that's happened over the weekend. I want to know what we can, as a council, do to pressure the state government to do something serious about mental health in this area, in the whole state. It's out of control. People need help. They can't get help. I had a friend who just this weekend, Lisa also knows this gentleman, he was in a terrible state. He's been in a terrible state for some time. He's been homeless for 2 or 3 years. Was directed to go down to this place at Hobart, went down there with the understanding that they would be able to give him the support and help that he needed. He was turned away because apparently his mental health issues aren't severe enough. Within 24 hours of that being turned away, he tried to gas himself in his car. Because, A, his car, he didn't trust it to drive it back home. He couldn't afford the fuel. He's so distraught. He's at the end of his tether. No one can help him. The one place he thought he could go for help, he's turned away. Luckily, he failed in his attempt at gassing himself, so he is still with us. He's in Hobart, Royal Hobart Hospital at the moment, waiting to go into the psych ward. But he had to get to that point where he was taking his own life before he could get help. Something's got to change here. We keep saying that we've got this bunch of contacts that people can make when there's mental health issues, but they don't actually seem to be able to do anything. Nothing's going on there. This is an absolute...
Feel for you and the person you're talking about, but I'll take this one more than a normal question without notice. Can we please, with the General Manager and myself, potentially talk to you, and we'll do some type of letter to the direct department with your consent, highlight some the details required that we can't deal with here publicly, so that we can send a letter on behalf and see what we can notify and see what we can achieve. Is that okay with you? Thank you. Very sorry to hear about that. Do we have any further questions? Councillor Johnston.
Just on that, thank you, Mayor, for taking that outside of the agenda. Just on that, so mine is, I think, a normal question without notice. I note under the section of questions without notice that and under the protection of the scenic and natural values of Breakaway Coastline, there are four items there that now say that they have been dealt with. It seems current status is 100%. However, I also note that items 3 and 4, or motions 3 and 4, are in the body of our agenda today, and items 1 and 2 are not. So my questions are, and I might not understand why. Anyway, why these items are at 100% complete when 2 of them will be on the agenda today and 2 are not.
Councillor Johnston, can I may just interrupt, please, without being rude. Could we address these as we get to them? Because we can't respond to you for 7 working days. This is a question without notice, which is 7 working days, where we'll be answering these directly as we get to the agenda item.
With all due respect, Mayor, I've got one more question and I'd like to finish that.
Thank you.
With all due respect, Mayor, there have been other times when the General Manager has actually responded to me, but I accept that they will be there in 7 days, but I also will, as you have suggested, do it
when it comes. It's just one more, it's just so that it's there. Why are these marked at 100%? And why are two items on today's agenda and the other two not on the agenda? I have it in writing and I will send it to you. Thank you for allowing me to.
That is fine. There will be a response within 7 working days.
Yep, thank you.
And we will deal with them as we go through the agenda. Any further questions, Councillor Lefevre?
After being approached by 3 caravan park operators, I moved a motion in May 2025 asking for a report on the usage of the council free camping area at the sports precinct in Tully Street. I just wonder when that report is going to be forthcoming.
Thank you. You'll get a response as per normal
Thank you.
Working day. Any further questions without notice from councillors? We have none. 26.5.0 is declaration of an interest of a councillor or a close associate. Do we have anything to declare? We have nothing. 26.6.1 is the confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting on the 16th of March. Can I have somebody move that they be confirmed? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. We have no commentary on those minutes. I'll take them to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.7.0 is the council workshop held since the 16th of March for your information. And 26.8.0 is the planning authority. And pursuant to Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Regulations 2025, the Mayor is to inform the Council that is now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move that we go into planning? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Chappell. All in favour? Carried unanimous. We are now acting as a planning authority. And 26.8.1 is DA229. Alex, would you like to walk us through this one, please?
Putting in, certainly. So to begin with, DA229 of 2025, it's for a 3-lot subdivision at 921 Tasman Highway, 4 Mile Creek. The applicant is seeking approval for a subdivision for three lots. As seen within the proposal plan, Lot 2 will accommodate the existing single dwelling, outbuildings and driveway access that currently services the residents. Lot 1 will retain the existing right-of-way easement in favour of the adjoining property. And notably, both Lots 1 and 3 are currently vacant, and Lot 3 contains the existing conservation covenant, which is shown on the proposal plan. This particular application had 4 discretionary items, and during the advertising period for this application, 1 representation was received. So the first issue outlined in the representation included does not support subdivision within 1 kilometre of the coastline, with some commentary being provided about the breakaway local provision schedule. Just in response to that issue, the commentary is noted, but it is not relevant to the assessment of this application against the current Tasmanian planning scheme. The second matter refers to the potential consequences of subdivision with regards to landscape fragmentation, where each lot might require clearing, fencing, increased fuel reduction, burning, or additional clearing. And commentary is noted, and for a more detailed response, this will be addressed in the third issue. The third matter raised, so the representor, with reference to clauses 22.4.4, landscape protection, and 22.5.1, lot design, the representor asserts that landscape fragmentation caused by subdivision is incompatible with maintaining landscape values, and that without the requirement for a covenant, there is no guarantee that the balance of native vegetation and associated wildlife habitat will be protected. So please refer to the planning officer's completed assessments, and in particular performance criteria P1 of clause 22.5.1 lot design. While the commentary around subdivision resulting in landscape fragmentation and supposedly not being compatible with the ability to retain and protect the natural landscape values. While that's been acknowledged, the representor does not elaborate on how the proposal is unable to satisfy the performance criteria. To ensure that adequate consideration is afforded to minimising potential impacts to the subject site, which may arise from potential future development, for example, a single dwelling, the recommendations contained within the natural values assessment prepared by Mark Wapstra of ECOTAS have informed condition four. The fourth matter raised in the representation included request that council requires the inclusion of a perpetual covenant to protect the natural values of the land. This has been addressed in condition four. The last matter raised included they provide a general commentary about the landowners degrading the natural values of coastal ecosystems and referred to the motion passed at the previous AGM meeting. The commentary is noted, but again, it is not relevant to the assessment of this application against the current Tasmanian planning scheme. So with consideration given to the assessment and the representation, my recommendation is for approval, subject to the conditions.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded by Councillor Oldham. Councillor Fever, would you like to add anything to the officer's recommendation?
Well, I'll just note that it's a very detailed report and quite extensive conditions.
Councillor Oldham, if you have any comment?
You'll think it's checkable to me.
Thank you very much. Now, we have anyone I'd like to speak against this? Councillor Johnson?
I want to state that I'm not speaking against it, but I need to talk about the conditions, the ones that you've addressed. I'd like to discuss condition four, the covenant, and also condition, there's one more condition, condition five, I think it is, or six, sorry. But anyway, just in condition four, what I'd like to see is that we recommend a more prescriptive prescriptive change, so that when we say suitable covenants, that we actually prescribe the perpetual conservation covenant that is currently on the property. So I mean, I'm not sure if I'm doing an amendment. I just would like to say this is what
Councillor Johnson, I'm taking it that you're asking for more clarification.
Well, I'm asking
that you can understand the conditions.
I would like to, instead of saying a suitable covenant, I would like it to be that it's a perpetual conservation covenant, what actually exists now on the property, that we as a planning body put that to them, and that cover, because after reading all the documentation, that cover each of the lots, and that's managed under the Nature Conservation Act of 2002. And the reason I'm suggesting that is what is coming out of what you've referred to, the environmental reports that have been given, which identify that there are threatened flora and fauna, including blue gums, which are under the state protection. But then there's also the swift parrot habitat, and that they are endangered species under the federal EPBC, as is the butterfly, which I cannot pronounce the name, I apologise. So for me, I would like us to be more prescriptive in our requirements under the covenant, and that we spell that out. And then within the conditions, I note under the covenants that what that B, sorry, 5B specifically, 5B specifically says the existing gridlock wire fence must be maintained along Tasmanian Highway to minimise roadkill incidents. That is the only condition which is genuinely prescriptive.
Can we just do one at a time? Okay. Because what we're talking here, you're talking about an amendment. If you want to add more prescriptive to what the planner has already got there, you're asking to change it. So you need to move an amendment to what you would like and see if that passes the room.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to have them stacked up.
Okay.
So let's deal with one of your issues at a time. The wire fencing is a separate issue to...
Oh, it's just under the covenant section.
They are separate items that you're trying to bring forward. Can I just ask the General Manager to put his spiel on it? Because I want to handle this in the correct manner.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, can we just ask Alex to respond to the covenant question, the specific question around a perpetual covenant?
Right, yeah. So I suppose as we're all aware that there is already an existing conservation covenant and it's on proposed Lot 3. So that particular area that's already subject to that conservation covenant under the separate act already that has the threatened species that I believe you're referring to in that covenant area. So that's under a separate act. The recommendations within the Natural Values Report, so that it addresses obviously that covenant area and then the entirety of the subject site. So the inclusion of these easements, while I think what you're getting at is that you're wanting it to be subject to that Native Conservation Act, I believe. So this one, unless I'm misinterpreting the Natural Values Report, the remainder of the site wasn't deemed to be, didn't have significant threatened veg as such compared to the covenant area. So this condition is basically that when the subdivision, if it does proceed, that these covenants are based on the recommendations in the suitably qualified person's report. And obviously I can't pick apart or really question that report because I don't have the expertise in that space, but I'm not really sure if I've answered your question there. But
it would seem, Councillor Johnson, if you read Mark Warbster's report,
that's
already covered, and he is the qualified expert that we have to take the notice of. And Alex is saying it's already there, so we're trying to duplicate.
So that I can confirm, then, where I was going with the other question, and I'm happy that, so when we say suitable covenant, one area's got the original covenant, it stays where it is.
Separate
number three, yeah.
Correct.
So, thank you for that clarification. What I would like our covenants, our one under covenants, under A and anyway, instead of having language that says should be avoided, which, what does that mean? I believe a covenant we should have providence must be avoided. The language here doesn't, it's not prescriptive, it just, people can say should be or well, maybe I'll do it. And to minimise the extent, I think must minimise, where it says avoid, must avoid, where practical, must, because this is just, you can just drive a truck through it, sorry, so to speak. And that is why I raised B, the existing gridlock, wire fence must be maintained. That, to me, is the language that we should use for each and every condition. That's my main point. So I don't know if that's an amendment. It's been more, it's prescribing,
Councillor,
not just one right, one thing, but that it must be.
Councillor Johnson,
yes.
If I may, and I would like to just add something to it. I don't want to sit around the table wordsmithing what must or may, when you need to, if you were saying the fence, do we have an Australian standard to direct that against? If you don't have a standard that the fence must be this standard, so what are you trying to achieve? It's a fence. So if there is no Australian standard that you can actually directly identify that it must be maintained at that standard, all that you're doing is wordsmithing must or may. A galvanised fence can be one single wire through there, or it could be a sixth lane of wire, and it may be animal-proof wire. But unless we're talking about a specific standard, wordsmithing must or may, I think we've got to be a little bit cautious on how far we go. Councillor Wright?
I think Councillor...
You certainly may, but can you see where I'm coming from?
I'm just saying, these are things like, it's not just a tree, like avoid where practical removal of hollow-bearing trees. All I'm saying is, you must avoid it. I mean, or they're not conditioned. This is, in my opinion, we have to be quite prescriptive in conditions. And so that's what I would say. And I just wanted the other... issue I wanted to raise was under number five, condition number five, where it talks about the final plan, etc., etc. And it talks about outside... Oh, I'll read it, sorry. The final plan and schedule of easements for lots 1 and 3 must describe a residential building envelope for each lot, generally in accordance with the above subdivision plan and approved bushfire management plan area, outside of which no residential, I would like, or tourism accommodation included in there, building is to be constructed. So they're the issues that I see that are quite important in this subdivision. So I thank the Mayor and
thank you,
I
thank Councillor Johnson. With Alex, without responding to that, if we're going to start adding in extras, tourism, etc., we need to have a motion, because that's quite a significant departure from what we're doing. It becomes an amendment, so we would need a motion to allow for an amendment to see if we're going to change that. So, Councillor Johnson, are you going to move a motion to that effect?
An amendment. So you're saying, Mayor...
If you're going to change and add more in, it's quite substantive what you're trying to change. You're just going from now to trying to remove tourism as well. That wasn't in this. You're adding that. So it's quite substantive, the change that you're adding. And that there will need a... Is that how you would word it, Mr. GM?
Through Mr. Mayor, yes. Any of these changes will need to come through as an amendment.
Okay.
To the motion.
So, General Manager, that would be for each of them. Is that what you're saying? So we have to put an amendment for each of them. So
each one of those changes would have to be in the amended motion. So in the first one, where you're talking about covenants, suitable covenants, you would have to say that it was a perpetual conservation covenant. Is that what you're proposing?
If I did that, I'd be... Okay, go on.
That would have to be in the amendment, but that was changed from suitable to perpetual conservation covenant. And then any of those other ones, say, in, for example, in 4A3, where it says avoid, that would be changed to must. In 4, must... we need that to be very specific around what you are proposing here, because this is a planning approval. There can be no ambiguity in what you're proposing. And then in 5, where you said that the building envelope for 5A, residential or tourism building. So adding in or tourism building, but I would... question that one there, because this is for a residential building and that will be a separate require a separate planning application to address that. So I question why that one will be included when that is not the subject matter of this application.
That's fine. That's good information. Yep.
That's why I was quite concerned, Councillor Johnson. We're dealing with what's in front of us.
Yeah, yeah.
What you are suggesting we haven't got to look at, and we're trying to stop something from happening.
Yeah, okay, I'm right. Hearing that bit, but the first bit, under four. So basically what I would like to see, or the motion would be, to make sure that the introduction of non-native species and plants not local to the province must be avoided and environmental weeds regularly monitored. Two, must minimise the extent.
Hold on a minute, Councillor.
So is that, do you see what I mean, John?
No, we're all separate amendments.
Are they all separate?
All separate. No, we can probably put it here. Do it as well. No, I just want you need to have it here on the screen.
So just provide, as a moment, just copy and paste this. And then we'll put it there and we'll deal with it as one. Perpetual conservation covenant instead of suitable. So if you can just go with track changes.
Sorry, John, general manager. Sorry, with due, all due respect, I would be happy to keep the suitable covenants and just go through after the what I said before. After I understand that part of it's going to be staying, I would be happy to just go through and do the must, like make it more prescriptive. So suitable covenant, because the other covenant is as is, yeah? And then one, introduction of non-native plants.
1A, the introduction of non-native plants.
Must instead of should.
Must minimise, not just minimise. And then three, must where practical. Four, must.
Wait,
oh, sorry.
Avoid.
Must.
It's still the word avoid in there, though.
No.
Must, where practical, remove a following tree.
It doesn't make sense.
That doesn't
make practical, remove.
Well, that's saying that we must remove them.
Instead of should, after fence, internal fence at the top, second line. Instead of should, second line. That's it.
Yep.
Must. B stays the same, because it uses the word must. C, barbed wire or electric wire must be avoided. With existing top wire on removed. And then where fencing is required through threatened native vegetation and woodland, clearing must be minimised, and then gives an example, and restricted to, that's it.
Now, is that all of them, Councillor Johnson?
It is. Mayor Tucker.
It's a great effort of wordsmithing, and I don't think it will make a lot of changes to the outcome, but I'm happy with it. We need a mover, which is Councillor Johnson, a seconder, Councillor Chappell. I'll take that to the vote, as that is an amended motion for this. So I'll take that to vote. Is all in favour?
I'll just ask a question first.
I don't know if we go for the amendments, do we?
It's about this.
Okay.
The person putting the proposal in, how does it affect them? Because they might not want to go ahead with it, with the changes. Yeah. So what happens there?
Yeah, three, Mr. Mayor. Once a planning approval is issued, then they have the right to appeal a council decision.
The conditions, etc.
No different. It's the same. There's no discussion with them about the conditions. They say like this, unless it's a clarification, this is simply about if they don't like the decision, they will appeal council's decision. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll take the amendment to the vote. All in favour of the amendment? Against? That is carried. Now, the amendment becomes the motion. Against?
Is there further discussion?
Any further discussion on the actual motion? Councillor Wright?
I did just want to support what Liz is saying, because I know you call it wordsmithing, but I think the way it was sitting is way too ambiguous and open to interpretation, whereas this does make it more prescriptive and actually enforce or, pretend to at least.
Councillor Carter?
I'm assuming that this motion only refers to this particular DA, but I guess my discomfort in all this is exactly as has been expressed this morning, that it gives developers the opportunity. So as an example, in this particular conversation, there's a building envelope sitting right in the middle of the scenic corridor. Now, I know that's not a decision for today, but it makes the decisions we make today very much more difficult, because we anticipate what's going to happen in the future, which unfortunately isn't necessarily in the best interests of the environment.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, the motion is as read. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour?
This has passed with the amendment, so it's the amended motion.
Yep, the amended motion is being put. All in favour? Against? That's been carried. Thank you. So, any further questions from councillors on this development application?
Can I ask directly that question?
Yes, certainly, mate.
I think I understand from what we decided today that it's just the subdivision, but when you look at Lot 3 and there's a building envelope sitting right in the middle of the scenic corridor, I wonder why we can't, at the very early stages of allowing a subdivision to go through, be quite prescriptive about what is allowable and not, and encourage the developer to put it through as what it's going to look like in the future, which would be to the agreement of the people who make the decisions. Does that make sense, Alex?
I can sort of see where you're coming from there. So you're talking about you're wanting a bit of an understanding of future impacts.
I think I anticipate the future impact, but the fact that we're not bringing it to the attention of the developer now allows them to feel much more potentially positive about asking to build a house in a scenic corridor, because we've allowed us to sit on that plan as such.
Yeah. Obviously that will be subject to once we get an application for a dwelling, but, you know, in terms of where that building envelope is sited, my understanding is that there is quite a bit of vegetation along that front boundary in its entirety. So the construction of a dwelling, you know, maybe 20 or so metres from that boundary, you know, you might not even see it. But again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Possibly, but a scenic corridor is a scenic corridor. What's the width of a scenic corridor? So, I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm just trying to get as a public comment to say whatever exists as a regulation or a covenant or whatever we want to call them should be respected.
Councillor Carter, what I would suggest is you bring this to workshop because we can only deal with the development application before we have
it. That's why I asked the question. Yep. When is it going to happen? Thank you.
So we'll take that one if you want it to workshop. So that one has been passed. 26.8.2 is DA031. Alex, would you like to talk to us on this one, please?
Certainly. So DA031. 31 of 2026 is for a boundary adjustment via subdivision. So the applicant is seeking approval for a boundary adjustment, as mentioned, by a subdivision between two existing titles, and does not include either an additional use or development. The proposal will result in 16.04 hectares of land being allocated to 67 Hills Road. It's Mary's, resulting in a total area of 57.8 hectares, while 78 Hills Road will decrease down to 23.3 hectares. There was one discretionary item for this particular application, and during the advertising period, we did receive one representation. So this particular representation, so their main concern was that a change of use is proposed to put a sheep feedlot on the property. Concerns in relation to such use have been raised in addition to potential environmental impacts. So just in response to that concern, the matters raised in the representation relate primarily to concerns about potential future use or development of the land. At this stage, the application before Council relates only to a boundary adjustment, and the planning scheme requires Council to assess the application against the relevant performance criteria associated with the development proposal only. Council is not required to consider potential future uses of land as part of the assessment of this application. Any future development would be subject to a separate development application and assessment process, at which time matters relating to the use or development of the land could be considered. And subdivision is not required to be categorised into a use class as per 6.2.6 of the planning scheme. So with regard being given to the assessment and response to representation, my recommendations for approval subject to conditions.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. Councillor Fever, you have any comments?
Straightforward.
Thank you. Councillor Oldham?
Myself.
Thank you. Have we got anybody who'd like to speak against this development application?
I don't want to speak against it, Mayor, just my clarification. You
yep.
said at the beginning, you took prior to the conditions that it was subject to one performance criteria. Could you just explain that, please?
Sure. So that performance criteria...
Just explain it for me, sorry. It means that basically the boundary readjustment means that it's one block is going to be quite under what...
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So the boundary adjustment will basically result in one of the lots being less than the acceptable solution requirement for a lot size in that area, which off the top of my head is 40 hectares.
Yes.
So one of the lots is reduced down to 23.3, while the other one obviously far exceeds the acceptable solution.
Correct.
So that was the only discretionary matter for this application.
My question is, does this set a precedent in this sort of space? You know, I mean, we have, you know, this is an acceptable solution is us putting, we've said, okay, well, the acceptable solution is to agree to what the people want as far as the boundary readjustment. I'm just wondering if this sets precedence. Like, is this something people can go back to?
In terms of precedence,
that wants to do a boundary readjustment, instead of it being the 40 hectares that it's meant to be, now we've said, yes, it's okay to have a 23-hectare.
Well, I suppose just to bring it back to the planning scheme itself, that's why we do have performance criteria.
Yeah.
If we can't meet that acceptable solution,
yeah,
we do our assessment against the performance criteria. And in my opinion, you know, it can address those criterias in that particular criteria.
Yeah.
So from that basis, it satisfies the scheme. But if you have I suppose, particular concerns about how it might not address the performance criteria, I'm more than happy to.
No, that's not the question.
I'll just get John to make a comment if I can.
John, three, Mr. Mayor, it doesn't set a precedent because every application is treated on the merits in accordance with the planning scheme and not referenced previous decisions.
Any further questions to Alex? Councillor Fever, you have nothing else? Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.8.3 is DA 228. Alex?
Yes, so last application from me, so 228 of 2025. This one is for a new front and side fence at 163 Scamander Avenue. So the applicant is seeking approval for the installation of a front and side fence along the northern boundary associated with the subject site at 163 Scamander Avenue. The proposed fencing includes the following. So a 1.8 metre by 1.2 River Rock filled gabion cage located adjacent to the front boundary with bamboo panels extending to the northeastern corner of the existing visitor accommodation unit. And three panels, bamboo panels at a height of 2 metres and 16 bamboo panels at the height of 1.8 metres, which extend from the western corner of the visitor accommodation unit down towards the eastern corner of the subject site, which adjoins the rear boundary. So this particular application was also discretionary on one item, and we received one representation during the advertising period. So just to go through the first concern raised in representation. They assert that the application should have been advertised as retrospective since 80% of the works have been undertaken. Just in response to that, while it is acknowledged that the installation of the fence has been partially undertaken, the property owner ceased works and sought advice as to whether approvals were required before the fence was completed. Therefore, it was deemed reasonable to proceed with the application as proposed development rather than retrospective. The second matter does not believe that vehicle movement has been appropriately considered with regard being given to performance criteria P4 of clause 8.5.1, non-dwelling development. The representative asserts that it will be difficult to see vehicles exiting from the adjoining property at 161 Scamander Avenue with regard being given to the existing units on the subject site. Representative believes that the section of the fence within 4.5 metres of the frontage should not exceed a height of 1.2 metres. So just for reference, there's a completed planning scheme assessment against performance criteria P4 of clause 8.5.1, non-dwelling development within this report. The proposed fence is essentially a boundary fence between the subject site and the adjoining property at 161 Scamander Avenue. It is worth noting that the adjoining property at 161 Scamander Avenue currently benefits from the use of two access points from Scamander Avenue, and it is evident that the width of the access is sufficient to allow two-way vehicular movement. The fence will be sited below the established road level of Scamander Avenue, which significantly reduces the potential for either visual impact or obstruction of sight lines when giving regard to vehicle movements to and from Scamander Avenue down to the subject site. It is reasonable to determine that the siting of the fence, which is slightly over 9 metres downslope from the edge of Scamander Avenue, will not impact upon vehicles being able to enter or exit the subject site in a safe manner. The next issue raised in the representation included claims that the boundary has not been accurately shown and that there is a structure which has been built between the subject site and the adjoining property at 163 Scamander Avenue. The representative further outlines a matter pertaining to a firewall and an attempted restraining order from the applicant against the representative. With reference to the construction notes and specifications documents, which was included as part of the advertised documents, it's been outlined that all works remain within the boundary of the subject site and ensure alignment with boundary pegs and survey information. Regarding the firewall structure, this matter has been addressed by the Development Services Coordinator, and reference to the restraining order as outlined within the representation is irrelevant to the assessment of this application. The last matter, there is a retaining wall and tree removal that has not been included within the application material. In response to that, the property owner has been advised that retrospective approval will be required for these matters and will be considered in a separate application. So with consideration of the assessment and the matters raised in the representation, my recommendation is for approval.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, second to Councillor Oldham. Any commentary, Barry?
Yes, it was a very interesting item to read, particularly noting the angst between the parties, and I just hope in the future they have a cup of tea and a muffin together and all is well.
Oh, is this a chocolate muffin with chopped chips?
That's right.
That's the main thing.
Councillor Oldham. Yes, I hope they can make their settlement.
Expressed by all. Any person who'd like to speak against the officer's recommendation? I'll take this to the vote then. All in favour? Carried unanimous. The Mayor's to advise the Council is now concluding its meeting as a planning authority under Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Regulations 2025. Can I have somebody move that we move out of planning? Councillor Chappell, seconded. Councillor Wright, all in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. So we are now on to 26.9.1, which is outstanding matters. Have we got anybody who would like to speak to anything on outstanding matters? Councillor Carter?
Just a question. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to it, but I'm just wondering, has there been any progress in terms of our response to the potential
Through Mr. Mayor, there is the whole public hearings for it. That's the next stage, and that is on next Wednesday. In Launceston or Thursday in Hobart as well. We've asked a question around whether they will provide the opportunity for virtual attendance. I haven't received a response yet.
I will be definitely in Hobart at the hearing, and hopefully, if it's possible, the General Manager will be with me. Totally unacceptable what the Electoral Commission is doing, and they need to be told straight up what they are doing.
Are they public?
Yes.
They're public. So everybody, if you wanted, you could pop over to Launceston or Hobart to do it yourself. Just as a note.
Unfortunately, we have a council budget workshop on next Wednesday, so that...
Oh, no, I'm just sort of saying for the rest of the... It's great that you'll be there representing us, but it is possible for everybody to pop along if they can.
I think, Councillor Carter, while we have the floor, it's really pertinent that you brought that point up, because a lot of people are unaware of that they can have input. It's really important that people understand that the potential of the boundary adjustments have so many negatives that could affect our community that we need to be very strong and very clear. And I think they will hear it loud and clear from me what I think about those potential boundary adjustments and how it could reflect on Lyons being city-centric, Hobart-centric, and we will be the outlier and we will be forgotten. And that is the biggest concern that I have.
I think that concern is extremely common and would appreciate your zest on that matter. And could I ask another question in regards to the St. Paddy Heads? Again, while trying to be respectful of Parks and Wildlife, they hold up so many of the things that we do around the place. Is there any chance we can at least progress something that's been in front of their noses for quite a significant amount of time? So can we attempt to get them to do what they should be doing and should have done, please, in terms of signing St. Paddy's Head?
Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Johnson.
I just want to follow up my questions this morning. But first of all, just on the road side, St Mary's sign, shipping container and associated signage, I know we passed that development application and we sort of made some change, or we confirmed that it should be there for only 1 year after the the project planting was done. I just wonder when we say that that's complete, do we know, have we heard from them about how long the shipping container is going to be in place, or, you know, when the project will be, gives us some estimated time?
Yeah,
good morning. Good morning,
Jake.
To the rescue.
Premier, in answer to your first question, the rest is 100% because the planning permit is issued, so the recommendation of the council has effectively been completed in terms of the actions required. They have said that the project should be, last about 12 months, so we don't know the exact timeframes yet, but, yeah, it's going to happen pretty quickly, yeah.
OK, well, thank you very much. That gives us some clarity, because then we said another 12 months that they're contained.
Yeah, sure. So, through you, Mayor, we've got that file recall back to us so that we have a look at that in 12 months' time and see where they're at.
OK, thank you.
No worries.
Any further questions? Councillor Johnston.
Just the ones I raised earlier, just so that I understand why we're at 100% for two agenda items that are going to be on today's agenda.
Three, Mr. Mayor. It is because the decision was to put it back to the workshop. So we've completed that action. It's now sitting on the workshop there, and then when it comes from the workshop, it will show up coming to the council meeting or for further information. The reason there is two there and not four is that two of the items were more complex, so questions raised, further information sought by councillors, so that has been prepared, but two that didn't have additional requirements have come through at the council meeting today.
Thank you.
Yep. Any further questions?
One last one. About the budget for a full-time weed officer and full-time animal control officer, was it by regional network, it says here, but that a report is being prepared for the council for the next budget cycle. I'm just wondering when those preparations are. I'm assuming they're now.
That's been prepared at the moment. It's part of the budget for council.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 11 o'clock. We're just going to stop for a quick 10-minute break and then come back into it. So if everybody wants to have a quick stretch of the...
Almost there.
Could we start by the horse? Good morning, everybody, and thank you. Hope everybody had a nice cup of coffee and a short break. So we'll get straight back into 26.10.1, which is petitions, and I'm going to hand this one over to you, John.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In accordance with the Local Government Act, we've had to handle a petition which was received in relation to the aquatic facility. We have that just here. So the petition complied with requirements, and council officers have just been in the process of checking the 1,028 signatures on the petition. They take a bit of checking because we have to compare to the current electoral roll and also the current general manager's roll. So that's two trips through to check every signature. But in accordance with the Act, I've noted that petitions there, that there were 1,028 signatures on the petition, verifications underway, and that recommended that the council determines that the council will take into account the sentiment of the community communicated through the petition when deciding whether to proceed with developing a business case and concept design. So from there, Mr. Mayor, it's just a council decision on that one. And any questions that councillors might have?
We have any questions on this one first by anybody who's unaware? Not too noisy. Okay. Do we have anybody that wants to discuss a motion to this effect?
The motion is there with a recommendation.
Yep. Anybody want to support that, move that? Councillor Johnston has moved it, seconded by Councillor Fever. Any questions or comments, Councillor Johnston?
I congratulate the community on the amount of signatures that they've got. I also thank the council for going through the general manager's role and the electoral role to do this. I know that takes time, but it was a very worthwhile exercise for us to understand more about our community and some of our visitors on where they feel, what they feel about the aquatic centre.
Thank you. Councillor Fever? All good. Okay, if everybody's happy, nobody wants to speak against this, I'll take this to the vote then. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Point 12.1 is the Mayor's communications for the period. Notice of motion.
No.
We have nil. 26.11.0, we have nil for notice of motion. 26.12.1 is the Mayor's communications for the period ending the 20th of April. For your information, or anybody got any questions on that? We have nothing. 26.12.2, Councillors' reports. Grade A Chamber of Commerce and Tourism, Deputy Mayor.
Next meeting will be Tuesday the 5th of May at 6 p.m.
Thank you. NRM Special Committee, Councillor Johnston.
There's a lot in this today around the NRM, but we have received a number of people, for, as we know, for joining the committee. So, and there's a number of reports here.
Thank you. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Fever.
Yes, if you thought there were quite a lot of people going to the Bay of Fires in the past, just hold on to your hat, because I learnt yesterday that the BBC has done a report on the 8 best world beach experiences or escapes in the world, and Bay of Fires is one of them, one of the best 8 escapes in the world. And the gentleman who did the review said he felt like he was standing on the edge of the earth. So that is obviously going to bring a lot more people. At our last East Coast Tourism meeting, the main focus was on rejigging the budget after it's been confirmed that there's going to be a 25% cut throughout the state, from the state onto Taz Tourism onto us. And the next meeting is May the 14th. It was going to be a retreat, 2 days, but that's obviously gone by the wayside with the rejigging of the budget.
No worries. Thank you, Councillor Fever. Mental Health Action Group, nothing?
No.
Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, Councillor Wright.
There has not been a meeting since the last council meeting.
No worries.
And due to my absence, I'm going to try and find out when the next meeting scheduled.
Thank you. And Councillor Carter, Firefighters Master Plan.
Thank you. I imagine most people will be aware of the fact that there's a significant consultation being undertaken this week, as referred to in the Community Development Report. So there's a meeting tomorrow night at Anson's Bay, Pitlong Bay, Anson's Bay, and St Helens. Just check on the Tuesday and Wednesday one, I might have got that wrong. And the other comment I'd like to make is the report that's being dealt with within publicly at the moment went through the consultation, came out with the consultants, and then was checked by Parks and Wildlife. And I'd just like to make a comment. As a councillor, I felt obligated to read it just to see if there are any significant changes. And what I would say is Parks and Wildlife have done a really good job of adding some extra detail in there, and certainly acknowledging Aboriginality as well, but it shouldn't hinder any of the progress of that consultation. So I think it would be interesting to go out to the community, and it would be interesting to see what happens next.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. And St Mary's Exhibition Building Committee, Councillor Johnson.
This Wednesday we'll be meeting with the engineer on site, and then there will be a committee meeting after that.
Thank you, everybody, for those reports. 26.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Rao and Ange.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Councillors.
Good morning.
For both of us today.
Two for the price of one.
Hopefully it's double the value, man. Councillors, the Business and Corporate Services section starts with the Corporate Services Department report. I'll try to provide you a lot more detail just in the written report this month, because I know the council meeting is going to be quite long today. I'm happy to take any questions, Mary, on any specific items, but I think Ange would like to...
Yeah, I just wanted to raise one thing. Council officers have been investigating the implementation of some more FPOS facilities at waste transfer stations. And while we were doing that, Councillor Whittaker also sent an email inquiring about it as well. So we are now in the process. We've ordered machines, so they'll be rolling out to Scamander, Fingal and St Mary's waste transfer stations. We've looked at the takings. We need connectivity and power and things like that to be able to operate, but that will be rolling out in the coming months.
Thanks, Anne. That's nice to have that as an update. Yep. Any questions to Raoul or Ange on the Corporate Services Department report? Thanks, Raoul. It's pretty comprehensive what you've put there, and the municipal revaluation will be interesting.
Yes, it's certainly proving a challenge, Mayor, trying to do some rates modelling with those numbers at the moment.
I think that one thing, obviously, with revaluations is also when if valuations go up, how that affects your depreciation schedules, which is an issue that I'm sure that will sneak up and bite a few of us on the bum over the next month or two.
Yeah, in fact, Mayor, that's probably worth noting there. I think I mentioned around the our assets and the building asset class data. Council's not immune to increasing costs either. Our buildings have been revalued and we've seen a really substantial increase in the value of our buildings as well. And we've been working really hard to try and get our depreciation schedules on that aligned as closely as they can with what they need to be. But it's certainly a big increase that we'll be seeing coming up. So we'll talk more about that at budget time.
Thank you very much, though, Raoul. It's something I thought was important just to mention. Any other comments or questions to Ange or Raoul? If not, can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Oldham. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Raoul, would you like to talk us through this one?
Certainly, Mayor. Thank you. Councillors, as ever, there's a series of notes there which outline significant variances to budget. Most of those variances have been consistent all the way through the year, and they really relate to things that aren't particularly in our control, apart from the materials and services, which are down 13% on budget. But we do have a lot of projects that are starting to come to fruition. The road sealing program's finished. That number will come down as we get closer to the end of the financial year. It is worth noting that the current projected budget position will be impacted by that building revaluation, Mayor and Councillors. And at the moment, that number will hit our books at the end of the financial year. So that number will change significantly to what you see here. And happy to take any questions, Ben.
If I may, Raoul, too, just on this before I open it up, I think one thing that needs to be highlighted as well is also all of our capital works and expenses with the fuel, the way the fuel is going to have major impacts on everything from our waste pickups through to everything else that we do, and that'll be reflective in the next quarter.
Yeah, that's well
so
said,
I think it might be worth mentioning just a few things around that for everybody as well.
Yeah, no, well said. It's something that we certainly didn't see coming, and we didn't budget for these increased costs in inputs like fuel, but we'll have to wear them for the rest of the year. Again, trying to model that for next year is also incredibly challenging. We don't know how long these shocks are going to be, you know, going through supply chains and everything else. And I know the Manager of Infrastructure has been doing some fantastic work in that space just to actually get a handle on what those extra costs will be. But it is a significant increase when, the amount of diesel we go through just collecting rubbish has gone up, somewhere between 30% in the last couple of months. I have to say it is good we're sitting in a comfortable position at this point, but I don't think any of us are feeling particularly comfortable about what the next couple of months might bring as far as what those extra costs will be.
Thank you for that, Raoul. And I think it's just really important because none of us want around the table, want our community to feel shock. We all are aware. So can I get somebody to move the financial report? Councillor Johnston, seconded Councillor Whittaker. And questions to Raoul, please, Councillor Johnston.
Thank you. Thanks for the explanation. Just on, you've raised that thing about depreciation or the rise in the value of our assets, in particular buildings. Is that, is it bigger? I noted that you raised that. Is it bigger than, has it increased more recently, in this financial year?
I know what you mean. So part of what councils have to do is we have to revalue our assets on a cyclical basis.
Yeah.
We've recently redone our sealed road network.
Yeah.
Our built assets are our next biggest asset class.
Okay.
But built assets are far more exposed to increase in value. So let's say a residential property might increase in value by 25% over a 3-year period. A community hall might increase in value by 35% over the same period. So our depreciation effectively goes up at the same level. It's unfortunately for councils, depreciation is, I think it'd be fair to say, general manager, a bugbear that we all have around having to account for it. We have to pass those costs on in our rates, and depreciation is something that never goes down.
Okay.
It just keeps going up. So our built asset portfolio, unfortunately, on many levels, we've got a lot of old buildings. Now, they may have been worth $70,000 when they were built, but they're currently valued at $550,000. So it is something... It happens once every, I think it's 5 years that we do it.
Okay.
But this year will be the year where buildings really hits us hard. Okay.
So that's when you do that appreciation.
The depreciation change.
Once every 5 years.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's why it's come up.
Yep. But you can imagine over a 5-year period.
Yeah, of course. The value
increases quite substantially if you're having a 20% or 15% increase annually.
But thank you. It's just that you've raised it a couple of times in that conversation. I thought it must be something.
I think it's called foreshadowing.
Thank you.
Okay, have we got any further questions to
Raoul
or Barry?
Councillor Fever, sorry? It's not a question, it's just a thinking out loud as a member of the audit panel. On page 543, it's got a section on investments. Now, if you're a ratepayer looking at that, you would just see all the millions there, maybe think we can afford a pool, etc. But those terms are for 3 months, 6 months, etc. So that money has to be utilised within council, so it can be misleading. So we still have a little debt overall. It's not, we're not flush with a great heap of funds.
Thanks. Going back to that one?
Yeah. I missed it.
That's all right, Councillor Beaver, but it was a very good point.
No.
Any further questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 26.13.3 is the audit panel minutes. And Raoul, would you like to speak to this one?
Thank you. Yeah, the audit panel met on the 6th of March, and we meet every 3 months, and we go through a structured work plan reviewing specific items at each one of those meetings. I've listed the significant matters from that meeting, which included the long-term strategic asset management plan, that we're currently working on now, which is coming close to completion. The review of the asset management strategy and the associated policies. We discussed the human resource policies and the work that ELGAT and Edge Legal have done in that space, which has been fantastic. And also our trajectory on our ICT strategy and cybersecurity governance roadmap, which is progressing well, and as you all know, we've got an item in relation to ICT later in the meeting. We agreed that the cyber security policy, because the cyber security space is moving so quickly, we should review that annually rather than biannually, and also that we need to develop a coordinated cyber incident response plan, which will happen when we finalise the ICT procurement process. There's a couple of other matters there, and if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ralph. Can I have somebody move the officer's report we received? Councillor Whittaker seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to Ralph on the audit panel minutes report? We have no questions. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.13.4 is schedules of fees and charges, dogs only. Ange.
Okay, so this is for the dogs only at this point, as we get, as every other year, we get our dog renewals out early May. So we needed to adopt the fees and charges for 26-27 for the dogs. And the full fees and charges will be coming to the next workshop and then council meeting. But, yeah, we just need to get these ones done as a matter of process so we can get the renewal notices sent out. So.
Thank you, Anne. Have somebody moved the report be received? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to Ange on the dogs only fees and charges? We have no questions. I'll take that to the vote then. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Raoul.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, councillors.
26.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure Report. And good morning, David.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, councillors.
If you'd like to walk us through your report, David.
Thank you. The report provides a summary of general maintenance activity as well as progress on the capital works program. You can see that we've got a couple of projects nearing completion. Just a couple of things there on strategy development. The St Mary's parking strategy has been drafted and it's currently with the management team for internal review, or will be shortly, sorry, with them for review. The waste management strategy is going through internal view at the moment and will be coming to a workshop in May.
Thank you very much. Somebody move the officer's report be received. Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Barnes. Oh, you're scratching your chin. That's quite okay. Any questions, please, to David? Councillor Johnston?
Not a question, sorry, Mayor, but I am really pleased with, just to say, the work around weed management, because there's been a big piece of research coming out saying that some of these ones, like foxglove, Spanish heath, African daisy, a number of these are trying now not to allow to be sold out of nurseries, etc., because they are becoming such a that they're infesting all over Tasmania. So I thank the Works Department for doing work on those weeds. We don't want to become more on the weeds. When we've got the third, what was it? The third best place beach in the world.
Foxgloves don't grow on the beach, but well, I know
but there's a lot of other weeds that have grown right near there. But so, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. And it's really good to see the double shredded mulches sold out too. So that's really good. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.14.2 is the animal control report. David, there's nothing else to add to that report from what we've heard at workshop?
Only, Mr. Mayor, frustratingly, that we still have 39 unpaid registrations. We've taken action in providing, in issuing infringement notices, and there's a process to follow up in due course over registrations.
Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Lefevre. Any questions?
I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.3 is the Transport Master Plan. David, would you like to speak to this one, please?
Yes, Mayor and Councillors. So the Draft Transport Master Plan 2025 through to 2035 is before you with a recommendation to endorse that plan. The plan was developed with a lot of resource time by the business services manager and myself. The plan builds on the previous plan, 2013 through to 18, but it also integrates this plan, climate adaptation priorities, and which align with our asset and financial plans. This plan is different to previous plans because it provides a practical outcome-focused framework which guides the council in terms of considering future transport investment and community needs. And so on that basis, it's our recommendation that council endorse this plan.
Thank you very much, David. Can I have somebody move? The councillors, Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to David on this? If none, I'll...
I have a question. I just want to thank you for this. It's it's a big job, I think, the whole area of transport. And never before has it been highlighted more since the situation we find ourselves in now. And I don't know how it goes into a crystal ball to see how that looks into the future, but thank you for what you've actually also just indicated to us. It's going to allow us to see what the needs are of the community and et cetera. So I thank you for all the work that's gone into this.
Councillor Chapman?
We discussed a lot of this at workshop and, you know, how that we're looking to be forward-thinking and all the rest of it. That was really good. But my one question is... the picture of a vineyard on the front of the plan, where is that actually? I actually have no idea. And it peaked up. I don't know which vineyard that is, just out of interest. But you can get back to me on that one.
We can find out because it's on the council template and we just use that.
I can't believe that you don't know where that vineyard is.
I don't. Unbelievable. So it looked very nice.
Sorry. Sorry, I had a comment.
You had a comment?
I find it must have been an exceptional document. It's very nimble and responsive, and I also appreciate the fact that Tier 1, 2 and 3 get a coherent sort of working together sort of thing rather than responding to negativity and fixing up roads. There's also some aspirational stuff in there as well, so well done.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.15.1 is the Community Services Report. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Councillors.
Chris, would you like to talk us through this one?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I have one update, which is probably not a good update for us all, but the Councillors may remember that we supported the motorcycle event in 2027, basing themselves out of St Mary's. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they were unable to secure funding to continue with the planning, so they've pulled the event. So that's quite sad, I think, for our area. Yeah. But open to questions.
Okay, can I have somebody move that report be received? Councillor Favour, seconded Councillor Chapel. Any questions to Chris on the Community Services Report? Okay, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.15.2 is the Visitor Information Centre Report. Chris, you'd like to speak to that one?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I mean, their report is very self-explanatory, but again, you can see that we're still getting overseas tourists and interstate tourists, which is good. You know, people in that centre and the history room, they do an amazing job. So, it's open all the time during the holidays and things like that, so it's very well attended.
I guess somebody move the report. Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions to Chris on the report? Councillor Barnes?
No. I was scratching,
I thought you were going to surprise me. Councillor Johnson?
As you said, it's very self-explanatory, so thank you very much for that. I haven't seen it, but I'm quite interested in the fact that we have this private exhibition on a collection of Iranian objects, highlighting the importance of the culture to the world. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for people. I don't know how we get out to the world, you know, about that. But I look forward to getting down and seeing that.
And do some amazing work around their exhibitions, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, fantastic.
And as I always say, when you see the amount of visitors walking through the door, IT is great, face-to-face is incredible, and they do an incredible job. Councillor Carter.
Just two things to stand out for me. The Heritage Walk, the fact that that's nearly coming to completion, I think that's an exciting thing that's been developed, and it always astounds me the levels of research that people are engaging in with our history room. Again, that seems to me to be like an international thing that is attracting people from all over the world to come and do this stuff. So, again, that highlights the quality of that facility.
Through you, Mayor, and it's amazing that the number of questions they get from outside our area as well. So their knowledge base is massive, which is great, yeah.
OK, we'll take this on to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.15.3 is the sponsorship request for funding towards a film of the Pyangana Heritage Match.
Thank you, Mayor. As we spoke about this at the workshop, this was held on the weekend, but this is just approving that we provide them with the funds to go towards the cost of that live stream and the film.
I've somebody moved the officer's recommendation. Councillor Chappell, and seconded by Councillor Oldham. Any questions, please? Councillor Carter.
Sorry, my brain doesn't always follow some of this stuff. I guess what we're suggesting here is we're allocating $1,000. I would just like to put the case that the fund that's coming out of actually contains $2,000. And the fact that I think Mr. Wally, when he put that application in, I can't find the words right now, but he was basically suggesting $1,000 might be considered. But the truth of the matter is that event evolved very quick. The Pyangana Games has been on the calendar for a number of years, but the fact that it was going to be filmed and live streamed into the community and beyond occurred and evolved very quickly over the last couple of months, to the point where things like Michael Simmons umpiring his 700th game as a goal umpire occurred, which wasn't planned for and predicted, nor was the arrival of Mitch Lefevre, who's an AFL boundary umpire, to participate in that as well. So what I'm trying to get to is I think it highlights how much quality that it did in terms of celebrating that event and the community itself. And I think the other thing that I'd like to consider is that it's coming out of a Fingal Valley Coal Festival account where it's actually honouring a match that was played on behalf of Fingal as well. So I would actually ask that we consider giving them $2,000 rather than $1,000 is what I was getting at. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, I just put $1,000 because that's what they actually asked for in the original. Yeah.
He said $1,000 might be considered.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that because he would have asked for more if he had felt able to do so.
Yeah. When through you, Mayor, just some clarification for councillors. When the actual application, the request came through, we actually asked him to put an amount, and that's what he came back with. Yeah.
Well, they requested $1,000, and we're suggesting $1,000. Any further questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried and against? Councillor Carter.
No, I'm not against it.
Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.15.4, purchase of banners for the St Helens History Room. Chris.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, this was discussed at the workshop. This is just to let everyone know who's visiting our area, as well as our local people, local community, that it's 40 years that the History Room has been in existence for, and it's time to celebrate.
Thank you, Chris. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions or comment on this one? Councillor Carter?
Amazing. One of the things that just occurred to me when I looked at the banner pictures, the fact that one side is going to be something that's universally available and can be used in the future. And I'm just wondering if we were able to do something smart with those banners that actually allowed us to cover up the specific dates, those banners would be useful beyond this one year. And I'm not saying that's possible, I'm just throwing it into the thought bubble to say if there's some smart way we can utilise those banners beyond the one year, that would be
great. Chris, have you got any ideas?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no. These are specific banners for this purpose, yeah, and that's why they've got the 40 years, yeah. So there would have to be another run on a banner, another cost, yeah.
Okay, any further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.15.5 is the community program. Chris, these are all here. Would you like to make any comments?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, councillors, for the work that you put into this when we discussed it at the last workshop. I've highlighted, there's two that, as suggested by councillors, that they have some conditions on. The one around the basketball, that they include both schools, not just St Helens. And the Northeast Bioregional one, it's subject to getting parks consent because there was no parks consent to replace the signs on their land. And again, it isn't something that we can just do, as we found out with Scamander. There's a process that we have to need to go through, and it takes some time. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Somebody moved.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. And there's a second part to the question. So one of the applications was for an event, so I've made that as point two, which is under the table.
Have somebody moved the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright seconded. Councillor Chappell. Any questions or commentary? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Can I just ask a question? Mr. Forshaw, okay, in mind. The egg, the cosmic egg there, someone mentioned to me the other day that was supposed to have been opened in 2026.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It was opened at the end of last year, just to check it, and unfortunately everything that was in it was destroyed. Through mould. Water had got in. Yeah.
26.15.6, Arts and Culture Funding Program. Chris?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, this was discussed at the council workshop, and again, we have a proviso on one of the applications where we need to seek additional information, and that one will come back to council. So the recommendation is as stated.
Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions on this?
Sorry, if I understood that correctly, does that mean that we're going to hold off approval of both or just
no,
the
just
one?
Until I get the additional information that you require.
Councillor Fee.
Sorry, can I just ask for a point of clarity on that one? I guess the conversation at the previous workshop wasn't just around the financial stuff, it was a much broader conversation. Is that going to be covered in the expectations?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, what was discussed at the workshop is what I'll raise with them. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Favour?
And say, could we discuss the funding at a workshop, particularly in relation to if you apply this year, are you eligible in the future? I think we need to nail that right down. And I would even go as far as to say maybe we need a committee of three people, yourself and two councillors, to look at the initial applications and then ask groups questions and then bring it back to whole council. But that's something we could discuss at the workshop.
Please take that to a workshop as an agenda item. Yeah.
Just on that question, do you mean if they apply for it or if they are successful at it?
No, when the applications come in, a committee of three could look at the initial applications and then say, oh, you've missed out such and such, or you applied last year, so you're ineligible, and prune it down before it comes to the whole council.
I think we'll do the detail at the workshop.
Just a further question, it's not a criticism at all. I'm just wondering, given that we're sponsoring a Ocean Screeches and Plastic Features, is there any chance that there will be an expectation that would be, put out in public domain so that it can be appreciated on behalf of the council, or is it something that they have determined where they're going to put it, or have we got input into that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure if, because they're not getting the full amount, whether it'll go ahead. That's a conversation we need to have with all of the ones that didn't get their full requested amount. But we can certainly ask that. It's based on the one they did at the Junction Art Festival, I believe. So I would imagine that's something that would need to be displayed somewhere where everyone could see it. Yeah.
I think that would be amazing, yes. Thank you.
No worries. We've got no further questions. I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much,
Chris.
Thank
you, councillors.
26.16.1 is the Development Services Report.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning again, councillors.
We've got 10 minutes before it gets afternoon.
Yes, this is true.
So, Jake, would you like to walk us through your report, please?
Sure, thank you, Mayor. Planning and building approvals are marginally ahead when compared to the same time this time last financial year. So, activity is pretty high and sales are consistently high as well, which you'll see in the General Manager's report. We try really hard to bring the Scamander Boroughmurra Structure Plan final report and the Industrial Land Use Strategy final report to Council. Really hoping to get those before you during May or June Council meetings so that they can be finalised, so that when we get a new senior planner, which we're currently in that recruitment phase, that they can concentrate on that senior areas assessment, which is discussed a bit later. I think that's all, Mayor. Happy to take questions.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Barnes. Councillor Barnes. That was unbelievable. Thank you. Councillor Wright. Any questions, please? Councillor Chappell.
I note that the so far this year, the total building applications approved for the month are sitting at for the year, it's sitting at 200, and we only had 205 last year, so we've still got a few more months to go, which is really good.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Jake, I have one question. Just in the environmental report on biosecurity, the Khaleesi virus, they've been and they've checked the sites and they're looking at releasing, obviously. My question would be, could we be able to notify our members of the ratepayers in Alder Breakaday when it's going to be released? And the reason I ask that, I know people who have pet rabbits, not the ones that the Khaleesi virus will target, that are suspect to still getting the Khaleesi virus. So if we know it's going to be released at a certain date, the people can then do what they need to do to take their pet rabbits that they've got in a cage or a hutch to be protected from Khaleesi virus. It's just something I think we have so many families who have pets, and pet rabbits is something that people do have with their children. And if they are notified of when Khaleesi virus will be released, they've been informed and can take some proactive approach to protecting their pet rabbits if that was appropriate.
Yeah, Mayor. We'll definitely do some communication around that once we've got a date.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Johnston?
Just as a follow-up to the one with the biosecurity, that they've been out and they've checked recently the locations in Brocaday. Are they locations? I can see that it includes residents nominating sites, but did we have nominated areas that we as council put forward?
Hey, Mayor. Polly, you're probably better positioned to talk Polly's to the detail.
Polly, would you be able to help? And it is an issue, and I appreciate where Councillor Johnson is coming from. But, yeah, have you got any ideas?
Thank you, Mayor and councillors. We've done quite a lot of public communications to make sure that communities connected up with NRE's program for Khaleesi virus re-releases. I'm not aware of council coming up with any cases except one at the sports grounds here at St Helens. I'm not sure if we actually listed that with NRE, but then they go through a process of evaluating sites, whether they're suitable or not, and they work with the landholders where they're going to be releasing the baits. So I think in those local areas people do know, and hopefully we actually try and keep things up to date in terms of that virus being affected.
So, sorry, historically, I've got a conflict of interest, I suppose, here. Like, Falmouth is, I've lived there, but I've never seen anything like it with the rabbits. Now, I don't know how many people might have let them know that they're there and whatever. Just the way this read, it just says including residents, nominated sites. So they themselves, Biosecurity Tasmania, would have had a list of places where they've done it previously. Is that? I'm just trying to work out how it works. Because here it's got, including residents.
On their website, Polly, I think that's where people can nominate for them to investigate.
I know, okay.
Okay, so it's up to the individual resident. If you've got a plague at Falmouth and you or your neighbours haven't notified them, they don't know, unless, and I'm sure somebody would have notified them.
Okay, I understand. My question isn't that. My question is what happened before. It says including residents, as though some other form of data was used to also check. The way that's written, it says that they've been out looking, recently visited locations in Breaker Day, and then it says including. So that must have been...
If I may, Councillor, they'll be the ones that's notified on their website, I would imagine.
Yeah, through the internet, they've actually been out and visited properties, and some residents have actually shared information. They're coming down if you want to come and meet them. So I think the community's become quite active in getting their sites nominated and working.
Councillor Chappell.
A note on their website actually says St Helens will be completed by the end of April. So they could possibly be doing it already if we are to notify residents we've only got 10 days.
Okay, good. Pick up.
Might be too late.
Okay, Councillor Fever, do you have your hand up? Sorry. No further questions. We've had that moved and seconded. I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. Thank you very much for that, Jake. 26.16.2 is the Scamander Coastal Hazards and Pathway Adaptation Plan. And Polly, looks like you are in the box seat for this one. Would you like to talk to us about it, please?
We've looked at this again at the recent workshop with Council. Receiving this plan, we'll be able to then share it with community and stakeholders who have been involved with the project. The project's also going on with the groundworks. It's part of the grant-funded project. And also be able to start working on Council's response to the plan as an asset manager with some assets at risk and also community interest in mind to have a bit of an adaptation pathways plan for Council as well, which will demonstrate for the community also who have individual risks how they might be able to go about using this plan to manage coastal hazard and flood risks at the river mouth in the future.
Thank you. Can I get somebody to move the officer's recommendation? And that's been moved by Councillor Chappell, seconded by Councillor Wright. Questions to Polly? I think we've all gone through this pretty well, but it's a very important issue. Councillor Carter?
Thank you. I agree. We have done very well, and I applaud the actions to date. There's a paragraph in there, this action is to improve monitoring of conditions, and the last sentence is, this would involve monitoring of water levels in the Barway Berm height and developing protocol and procedures with stakeholders to manage the risk with a closed Scamander Barway. Given the significance of the event in the past that we learned from, I'm wondering if this is something that's a clear budgetary intent for next year, so that we get that monitoring stuff in place and we have clear protocols and procedures with the stakeholders, which I presume is the state government in this particular case, so that we can be proactive and positive about keeping this problem under control to some extent.
Through you, Mayor, it's actually part of the project to get that set up, and I hope to come back to Council in June, I think. Parks and Wildlife Service has run for a number of years with a protocol of their own, so this is really just going to build onto that with some monitoring of the actual situation. So we know when the barway is closed and how high the water is, and have some levels that are set to know when we really need to open it or not. It's quite an expensive exercise, so we've actually got to have that in place quite soon.
Thank you very much, Polly.
Okay, so it is something that will happen in the next budget. Yeah, thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.16.3, NRM Committee Record of Proceedings. Polly.
Thank you, Mayor and Councillors. As discussed at the Council workshop, given that the committee has not had a quorum for a number of meetings, present these records of the meetings to Council as record of proceedings rather than draft minutes until they're confirmed, and ask Council to receive those, make a note of particular things I've highlighted that have happened in those over those three meetings and the outstanding matters. The committee's continuing to operate, and we have also got another item coming up in terms of recruitment of additional members for Council to consider shortly.
Can I have somebody move? Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any comments on these? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.17. Oh, hang on. Have I moved too quick? I jumped a little bit. Jumped a little bit too quick, sorry. I lost my page. No, 26.16.4, the appointment of representatives to Bregadet Council Natural Resource Management Committee. Polly.
Yeah, recommending three appointments today. That follows some vacancies and Council's wish, which we ran a month-long expression of interest and promoted that. We received four expressions of interest. There were also a couple of members who were due for reappointment. One has decided not to continue, but the other has also said yes, she'd like to be reappointed and as an agricultural representative. And then we had three other expressions of interest for two vacancies as community representatives, general interest. Now, recommending the appointment of Lise Fearman, a current member, back to the committee as an agricultural sector representative, Mr. Graham Watham and Andrew Peaty as community representatives for the committee.
Can we get a correction on that one? Because it's not Andrew, it's Adam Peaty, I believe.
It's Adam, is it?
Oh, that's correct.
That's why you have a school teacher sitting around.
That's right. Thank you very much for that.
Any further commentary there, Polly, that you'd like to add, or that's it?
Oh, through you, Mr. Mayor. Only that, you know, the committee has struggled to get volunteers to join the committee at times, which is also reflected, I think, in not having a quorum at every meeting.
And I think it's great that these people have actually put their hands up to continue. And I think some of the expressions of interest in that, they saw a lot of value in it. So I recommend it to
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Wright. Any commentary on this or questions or concerns? Councillor Carter?
The representation put through today are very high quality people who are very active in our committee, so it would be great to invite them on board.
It certainly will. Councillor Johnston?
I think that it's been a good process putting this expression of interest out into the community. And potentially we have specific ones like we have for education, Aboriginal community, and potentially it might be, again, something that we could put out like for the education one, for example. We might do another expression of interest or something similar, just because it does get it out into the community, and we have had problems in the past. Getting paper. It's been a good exercise, which we haven't done since I'd been here before. So I thank the staff for doing it, and I know it takes a period of time, but I think it was a very useful exercise.
No further comments. I shall take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 16.5. Jake, I'll get you to run this one, the protection of the scenic and natural values. Bregadet?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Obviously this report's been provided as a result of the AGM motions put forward by Northeast MEBN. And this one relates to item D. Just to go back a bit, the motion involved, I guess, four key projects. And so decision was made to split those up into four separate reports just so they could be considered separately. So this one relates to item D, and that relates to the scenic review of the scenic protection code and our scenic areas assessment work that already forms part of our annual plan work. As soon as we can get a new senior planner on board to fill Deb's shoes, this will be a priority project to move forward with.
Thanks, Jake. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any comments? Councillor Johnston?
I thank the Mayor through you, Mayor, and I thank the councillors for the work that we did in the workshop, and I thank you, Joe, for the work that you've done as well. So what we're putting forward is that the recommendation is that we will continue with the identified project work. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just so that I'm clear. So in our conversation, I would like us to be a little bit more specific to actually include the work that has been done previously, or that the work that is out there. I don't know how we do that. I mean, I hear that you're doing continued identified project work, and I thank us for that. Is there a way with that that we can, I'm sure people will move this motion, and I don't think they're up for what I'm going to ask for. Is there a way to post this recommendation and acceptance of it that the council will have, because it's, you know, the council will have an opportunity to request that certain documents are taken into consideration? I know that you have said that that's what will happen. I'm just wondering how that will work.
Jake, I'll just get John to make a comment.
We're obviously very well aware that previous work's been done. It makes perfect sense to make sure that forms part of our brief. Essentially, what the intention will be is that brief is worked up by council officers, and it'll be workshopped with council, so you're well aware of where the brief sits, what's going to be incorporated into that, and how the consultation strategy will work as part of that briefing document. And then from that point, we'll then seek quotes from suitably qualified consultants to do that work, which will involve a consultation strategy around it as well. So, I think some of the questions have already been raised in that context, so that's sort of our intention in relation to the approach.
Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, I appreciate allowing me to ask those questions, and I appreciate what you've said, and I thank you for all the work that we've done to get to this point. I think it's important because this was a motion that was put by the community, and therefore it's very good to get that clarification that there will be an ongoing process to get to the brief.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I'm taking this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.16.6, protection of the scenic values. Once again, Jake, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. It's a long subject line, but effectively this one relates to higher standards for stormwater management and the stormwater SAP, which we currently have in our local provision schedule. So this item also relates to the AGM motions and specifically relates to Part C of that. The history really is that the Tasmanian Planning Scheme removed the requirements that were previously contained within the interim planning scheme. And so we raised those concerns and did a whole lot of work at the time when the new Tasmanian Planning Scheme and local provision schedules were being considered by the Commission, which resulted in our existing stormwater specific area plan, which does regulate stormwater disposal in areas that we know are problematic. And effectively what the Planning Commission did is say, well, you know, matters in relation to water quality and quantity and bits and pieces like that are really for a matter for building and engineering rather than it during the planning phase. So since that decision, I guess, was made, there's been a lot of work done at local government association Tasmania level in developing and reviewing new standards. And we're also developing more work in relation to our own policy in terms of our requirements for new subdivisions and, higher intensity development. So that work will continue in terms of finalising that policy, which will be before you at a future workshop. And in terms of water quality and quantity, what I can say is can trust that that is very thoroughly considered, particularly in relation to where those outfalls go into the Crown Reserve managed by Property Services or Parks and Wildlife Service, and they too ensure that reports and you know, relevant work is completed to their satisfaction to make sure the water quality and quantity guidelines of Tasmania are met. So that's where we're at in this space at the moment. Happy to take questions.
Thanks very much, Jake, and I really appreciate the detail that you've just told us all, so we understand. Can I have somebody please move that this be received? Councillor Feeder, seconded Councillor Wright. No questions or any questions on this one? Councillor Johnston.
Just the enforceability of a policy versus a specific area plan. That's my question, because I feel like when you do a specific area plan, it's quite, it's you know, if we did some more work on that to increase the quality, etc., that is then, you know, it's a planning tool. It becomes our planning tool. It's a planning tool for our community, for the community, for our planners, for the council. When it's a policy, how is that related to us when we're planners? Like, I understand it's a council, yes, it's a policy, but how does that really, what sort of, how does that impact the person that's doing the DA, for example?
So through you, Mayor, a policy can't contradict or amend what's required in legislation. And so, hence, when we choose to go with a policy, it's because we've identified a gap in terms of what the legislation requires. So there's certain items that we can include in policy, there's certain items we can't. Water quality and quantity, we can simply stipulate in those the types of policies that they need to comply with the requirements that are already been drafted, but we can't necessarily change or amend what's within those guidelines. So the policy can reinforce our position, and it can require different things as long as it doesn't contradict or overrule what's in state legislation, because effectively that legislation sits higher than a policy, because the policy only at the council level.
And so as a, in the policy, in the planning commission, right, that's where this specific area plan went.
Yes.
So the policy has to adhere to what's in the specific area plan. Is that correct?
In a way. I guess the specific area plan that we've got now deals with some areas and some, because the specific area plan only relates to the properties which are within the mapped areas.
Okay.
So what we're talking about here is potentially developments that are outside those mapped areas. And so, yeah, and that's where we've still got some gaps in terms of what we'd like to see developers comply with. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, look, I really want to thank people again for this, but I think this is a frustration that many of us feel during the planning when we're planners, and to have that really laid out for us, it makes it a much easier for me anyway work. And again, I want to, you know, emphasise the fact that this was brought to us by the community, and so I appreciate the fact that the council has put the work into it and the council officers, so thank you.
Is there any further questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Jake. 26.17.1 is the General Manager's Report. John.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just make a couple of comments in relation to the report, Mr. Mayor, then take questions. Mm-hmm. Just in relation to, as you will have noticed, one of the meetings was involving LGAT and the situation of fuel availability and pricing. Just wanted to acknowledge that, yeah, it is a very challenging situation, but also our Manager Infrastructure and Development Services has done a lot of work mapping out our fuel usage and where those critical tasks are, and developing a contingency plan to maintain our essential services should a shortage eventuate. So there's been quite a bit of work in that space undertaken by David, which has been fantastic. A couple of other things, just in relation to, you will have noticed in there, the the Bodec and East Tas Education and Employment meetings. There's been a transition from the Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House to East Tas Education and Employment for the Jobs Hub. So it sits under that entity. So that's largely progressed through now, and we're just in the final few pieces there. Two things on this. One, I just wanted to acknowledge the valuable support that the Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House have provided over the last five and a bit years for this project. It's been great. So the child's left home and gone and got married to another entity. So hopefully they'll be happy and laugh. They can change the locks now the child's left. And also there will be some process for additional committee members. We'll start shortly for the Regional Jobs Hub Management Committee as well. One other thing, Mr. Mayor, just noted in there, just to do with the local government amendment, targeted reform bill. Just a couple of things in there. I've got an item later on, but just some of the key components in that bill. There are some fundamental changes in there worth just bearing in mind, which will affect council activities into the future. A new strategic plan. There's a requirement that we explicitly link this to community wellbeing outcomes. That was one of the critical changes. I do note that we do have community wellbeing key focus area, so maybe we'll see how that plans out. Community engagement strategies, once again, required to have one, but we've actually got one in place, so we will do a review of that process. Our workforce development plans have been mandated, so that's a piece of work we have underway. And rates notice information that the minister will be able to specify what information goes on rates notices in terms of comparability. That may be really challenging for councils depending on the depth of information they require for comparison purposes. So we'll wait and see, Mr. Mayor, but happy to take questions.
Thank you. Could I get somebody move the General Manager's report be received? Councillor Fever and seconded Councillor Barnes. And questions, please, to the General Manager, Councillor Lefevre.
I wonder if we get a quick summary of how the meeting went with the Minister regarding the coastal camping areas.
Look, that was a good meeting and really just an opportunity for the Minister to actually go on the ground and see these coastal camping areas firsthand. So it's fine to sit there in their deliberations, but until you actually get on the ground and see what those camping sites look like and get a feel for it. It was really good for the Minister just to go and have a look at those sites as well. So I'm sure bear that in mind when they're dealing with anything to do with tourism-related and camping-type matters.
Councillor Carter.
Thank you. Firstly, a comment. In the shared social media post, there's a item there, hobby fishing Asia-Pacific. That was relocated to Skamander River last weekend. On the Saturday, there were over 40 competitors, and on Sunday, even more, paddling around in the Skamander River trying to catch a bream. But my point here is an amazing variety of fishing people from all over Australia at that event, and it was a relocation from Swansea at the last minute. But I think not only did council do an amazing job to permit it in the first place, but it was an outstandingly successful thing, which successfully blocked the whole Bridge Esplanade with car parking. So,
great for the community. My question isn't anything that you've noted here, General Manager, but I'm just wondering if you can make a comment about the matter that I raised a couple of months ago in terms of the St Helens Online Access Centre, and I'm wondering if there's any progress in terms of the conversation between libraries and that facility so that we can ensure that it exists beyond June.
Three, Mr. Mayor. No, I haven't heard anything, but I'll follow that up. Take that one on notice.
Any further questions to the General Manager? Councillor Johnston.
Oh, just an update. This is about the LEGAC meeting about involving Tasmanian Council General Managers to discuss fuel availability, the pricing and experiences with the matter. Is there... Look, what's the feeling?
What it really like... have an understanding, yes, we've got a month's worth of supply in the state. We only get 2 shipments a month. So we do have a vulnerability there, but the state government have everything under control, and maybe that's changed slightly since, but there were adequate supplies, and it was really just paint a high-level picture of the situation, but and for councils, to understand that.
If we have no further questions, I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.17.2, elected members' recognition procedure. Good golly, Miss Molly. Could you please... Could you please take us through this, Molly, because you've put a fair bit of work into this, and very much appreciate the work and effort that you've done.
Thank you. So the proposed policy and procedure is formalising our commitment and to ensure recognition to our elected members. The policy includes a framed certificate of service, recognition on the council's honour board role, and publication for the honour board to be on the council's website. In a previous workshop, it was mentioned how it would be structured, and we've identified that we will structure the honour board using service range groupings, so like a clustered within defined service bands. This is just to ensure it provides clear recognition of varying lengths of service, and it will allow for easy updates over time. And the procedure outlines just the responsibilities and requirements and ensures consistency in implementation. Any questions?
Thank you, Molly. Thank you. As I said, you've done a great job. Well, somebody move the opposite recommendation. Councillor Chappell, seconded. Councillor Wright. Any questions to Molly on this one? Councillor Chappell.
She's just done an amazing amount of work behind this, Molly, so thank you.
I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you took off the bottom paragraph where you were going to notice how many times Carlton has lost in the last 2 years. Thank you very much, Molly.
That's for another item.
Can I take this to the vote? All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.17.3 is also, Molly, the Honour Board for Recognition of Service. Would you like to speak to this one for us, please?
Yes, so as previously discussed, we have been looking at the way to promote or display our honour board for recognition of service. In our workshops, we have had discussions with the traditional timber honour board versus a digital honour board. I have obtained quotes from Flying Colours, and that is an estimated cost of over nearly $7,000. And then with that, updating the board would be around $600 per update. A digital honour board system, the package is $1,900, and there is no ongoing costs or fees. A digital honour board does allow easier updates. It has multiple capability for displaying council information, news and community messaging, and it can also be displayed across other council assets. The recommendation is the digital honour board.
Thank you, Molly. Now, if somebody move the officer's recommendation. Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any questions or comments, please? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Molly.
Thank you.
26.17.4 is the Breaker Day Aquatic Feasibility Study Consultation Round 2. And Raoul.
Oh, 3, Mr. Mayor. You'll handle this one.
Thank you.
At the moment. So, obviously, through the consultation process, Mr. Mayor, for this for the report. Fantastic level of response. So just noting that there were 861 responses were received across the survey period. That included some
a few paper copies, but it was great.
The key findings, and our council's executive officer and governance officer have worked hard to draw this together into a summary report, which is attached there for council's information. 75.8% of respondents indicated support for progressing to a detailed business case.
Among the ratepayer respondents, 73.5% indicated support for progressing to the next stage of investigation. So there's been really strong support to go that way.
Many of the respondents highlighted the potential community benefits, including recreation, community wellbeing and learn-to-swim opportunities, and there's also the health benefits there as well. Financial considerations, including potential impacts on rates and long-term operational costs, were the most frequently raised issues in the written responses, because there was the opportunity a number of spots to put forward written responses, and there was a lot of them. And location and accessibility were also commonly raised considerations. So really, when we look at this, like having that level of response was fantastic within the community, and the report that's provided attached gives a summary of what those were for the individual questions there for council's understanding. Jane has also provided a bit of analysis there of which says like what the feasibility report said, as well as what the community said and our observations around that. And there was a lot of close alignment between the feasibility report and what the community said through that as well, Mr. Mayor. But yeah, overwhelmingly it was to progress to that stage. I think also in the report, and there were questions raised around the engagement of the different areas, and I just scrolling through the report, and I just want to highlight just in relation to the consultation process, just let me bear with me. That within the report, the geographic breakdown of this, that really when you looked at the response levels for each area versus a percent total of population, whilst there was a slight increase when compared the coastal area, the local area, probably a little bit more there, but still there was some reasonable responses from other areas as well. And though you might say the Fingal, Mathina, Mangana area was a bit lower there as well, but there's still some reasonable responses there for those particular areas. It would have been nice if had more, but that's just the way it has panned out. The other probably critical one there was in relation to a permanent rate increase to cover this as well. That was marginally in favour of, with support for that there as well, Mr. Mayor. But yeah, that was a really good response from the community in relation to this. So happy to take questions and endeavour to answer them in Jane's absence. But really, this is a summary report of the engagement process there as well. This was also taken to the group to review prior to coming to council, and the report will be published on the council website as well, and it's freely available. And it's obviously freely available, it's in the agenda too.
Okay, can I firstly have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Wright. Councillor Chappell, you've had questions.
In public question time today, there was a question that was very seen up before about when it was going to be produced to the public. This is the report now that we're talking about that will be released.
Effectively, it's there within the agenda, but we will formally put it on the website with on the landing page with the other information there as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, if we have no further questions, I'll take this to the vote. Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.17.6 is the local government reform.
5, Mr. Mayor.
Go back the bus up here.
Thanks for that. Go back to IT.
Missed one. I do apologise. What page?
8.13. Could be up further.
Yeah. We will get there in a minute.
We'll take the mayor to the digital age where he'll just go through the index on your navigation page. That's a challenge I've got.
The challenge is getting me digitally aware of how to do it. Okay, so 26.17.5, Brigade A Aquatic Facility Feasibility Study Decision Point. So once again, Rao, if you'd like to take over.
Thanks, Mayor. And really, this just builds on the really great update the General Manager just gave on the community consultation phase. Councillors, as you're aware, when we started this process, we signed off on a project methodology back in January 2023, and that had a series of what's called gates, where we would get to a certain point and council would have to make a decision whether we move through to the next phase. In completing stage one, we delivered more than we thought we were going to. We did a cost-benefit analysis. We did a very detailed financial study internally on what the actual cost would be, the potential impacts of cost escalations to construction over the years as this moves out. And we also really looked in depth at the financial implications for each ratepayer across the whole municipality of moving this forward. The consultation process was the end point of stage one, and what's left now is for council to make a decision as to whether to move to stage two, and that is to get a detailed business case undertaken. Before you make that decision, it is important to recognise that if you do decide to move to business case, the current project methodology that we've agreed has specific outputs and they're listed in the agenda item. Some of the feedback that came through the community consultation process and through some of our internal discussions at workshop was whether to include in stage two an assessment of a different site. Now, whether that's close to the council chambers over the road or on the foreshore, somewhere closer to town, whether we need to be looking at something more along the lines of an integrated, co-located wellness hub with the aquatic centre, and whether that may actually change some of the benefit cost ratio numbers. We really need to understand much more clearly, and it's never been more important than before, what the affordability and risk of the whole of life of this project is. As we've seen, you know, with what's happened with fuel prices, supply chains, everything else, the business case around this right at the moment may be fundamentally different to what the business case was 6 months ago. And I can't stress enough, and I really hope that the community understands this, because we've been very, very clear the whole way along that this project cannot proceed with anything but 100% grant funding to build it. Now, that has to be front and centre in every member of this community's mind, every member of the Aquatic Committee, every member of council. We cannot cash fund this. We will struggle to cash fund the operating and depreciation costs of this facility. And I mean that quite genuinely. We will struggle to fund it. So the funding pathway that could be included in the business case is to really stress the potential of 100% capital grant funding and whether that's a genuinely feasible pathway at all. So, councillors, I've been working on this since 2003 with you all. Financially, I think I've made it quite clear to you that I think this is probably one of the biggest decisions this council will have made in the last 20 years, possibly in the life of this council, to be honest. Moving to business case will give us more information, will give us the potential to really put a dot on the end of stage two and be able to genuinely have a much deeper discussion based on much, more refined data and information with our community. And I think in many ways we'd probably owe it to our community to finish this process off and give them all the information they need to see that we've assessed every possible option. So at the end of the day, the decision's certainly not mine, it's yours, and I hope that you've had enough information provided there to make an informed decision, Mayor.
Look, thank you very much for that, Raoul, and thank you for your input into where we've come from to where we are now. I know as Mayor I've raised this on three separate motions over my lifetime as Mayor. Our community is asking, and we definitely deserve, and our community totally deserves, not only the respect of the request, but the detailed financial analysis to support one way or the other. So I'm very, very clear that we need to go further, but that is me. I'm just going to ask somebody please to move. You removing recommendation one or two, or a combination of. You're moving recommendation one. Do I have a seconder for that, Councillor Fever? Do we have any commentary? We'll go as we're moving this as recommendation one. Councillor Chappell, would you like to speak to your motion?
I come down to, we look at what John detailed about the survey results. We look also at the petition that had over 1,000 signatures as well. I think we would be remiss not to go to the end of stage two, get a detailed business case together, see what comes out in the wash then, like you said, be 100% to everybody that it's got to be fully funded for us to be able to afford this. You look at, it doesn't add up. We get that, but it's not correct for us to, I think, to make a decision right now to say no. I think we need that detailed business case, and then if we have to shelve it for a while, at least the work is done for the next time. But if we can, if some miracle happens and we're able to, well then, but just going on those survey results and the petition, I think we have to at this time. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Councillor Chappell. Councillor Fever?
Yes, sir, I agree with everything Councillor Chappell said. There's 800 respondents, 75% of those people want us to go to the next stage, so I believe that we need to. We need to be really fair. And then when that information comes back, maybe it'll be very, very clear that we can or can't afford it, or maybe we need to go to the elector poll stage, which would coincide with the council elections.
Thank you. Now, do we have... That's the motion on the books. Do I have anyone who wants to speak against that motion?
This is not against. I'm just wondering if Rao can provide some clarity. This is just my brain working in strange ways. But 100% funding, and I understand and agree with what Rao said, but I'm just wondering what impact integrated co-location would have on 100% funding.
That's something that can be tested in the business case, Councillor Carter.
Yeah, so yeah. What I'm getting at there, Councillor, is... 100% we need to understand, yes, in terms of us, yes. But if we go to that, if we can find an integrated co-location model, then it reduces the encumbrance on a range of stakeholders.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I just made a comment.
Yep, it's a comment, not because we got the motion in front of us on the board.
No.
Councillor Johnston,
you... I was going to make a comment.
No, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Councillor Chappell, please do.
Do we have to amend anything with that first part of the motion to make sure that that co-location or wellness hub ideas, or that's already bundled into that?
No. Look, I tried to leave that fairly open with endorsed project methodology and council's information requirements. So I'm taking that as read that the points that are listed in the agenda are your information requirements. We can refine those further when we go to the scope to go back to the consultant.
Three, you get 2% up front, you lock yourself down, whereas the information is there, and if we need to make some other refinements, we're not constrained within that. Please.
Sorry, I just want to clarify. I'm not trying to cause any grief here. I'm just making sure council is aware that if certain things happen, then it's not as bad as it might look in terms of how we can achieve things.
Look, I think everybody around the table, no matter who, where you sit, all agree
our community deserve 100% the best information available, as well as our council needs the best information available so we can make an informed decision that either sets us up for the future to be shovel ready to go, or it actually tells us in black and white if we can't afford it. But we won't know that answer unless we ask the question. And that's where at the pointy end now, and Optium and the amount of work that they've done and the community consultation, the aquatic working group, the amount of effort that's gone into it, our community deserves this so that we get the absolute nth degree of clarification so that we can make an informed decision. Okay, if we have no further comments, you're happy, Councillor Chappell? I will take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Mayor.
Very much appreciate that. And now I'll find the one that I was lost on.
Page 861.
860, actually. No, 861's close enough. See, I would have been wrong if I'd have been following your electronic. 26.17.6, local government reform, yeah. Councillor numbers and allowances, yeah. Review outcome.
John? So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things in here as well. So, councillors would recall we made a submission questioning some of the elements within the methodology as to how they calculated where various councils sat. But we raised the fact that their scoring system did not include the total number of rateable properties, which for us is a lot higher than the permanent residences. They took that into account. And we also raised the issue about the fact they just focus on sealed roads, not unsealed roads, and use that as a measure of population dispersion. We challenged that as well. Obviously, we probably weren't alone in those challenges. At the end of the day, they changed their methodology to reflect those, which resulted in some minor changes to where councils sat, and ourselves, the Trove and Derwent Valley, shifted up a band in allowances from that combination as well. So that was the outcome of that process. This information is just for council's information more than anything, because it's now in the hands of the legislative process, yeah, as well. So the recommendation was just to note the state government's final position and on the matter, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the recommendation be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Johnston. Really, this is just for noting, so there's nowhere to go with it.
Yeah.
All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
So thank you to us, but, you know, for John to get that stuff through so that they understood more that, you know, maybe they need to look at their methodology. Can't just be based.
Could you
on
please
cities.
Thank the AEC if they listen to us as well, because yeah, they no, really need to go their ears.
Yeah, but it's just that it was based on cities, not I would suggest, and not on regional. And I think that that's I thank the general manager for advocating for, you know, not only us,
probably
a bunch of other...
I'm going to have to ask our lovely people in the gallery to go and have a cup of coffee and a biscuit.